You're listening to the official EFL podcast.
Oh, O'Connell's mistake. McGinn. Green!
Pots isolated. Lonnie goes for goal. And what a goal!
Whitbread with a header. Alexander tries an instinctive volley. Oh, what a goal that is! That is one of the greatest goals you will ever see at Wembley from Gary Alexander to put Millwall level. And just look.
Hello again, I'm Ben Turner and welcome to the podcast and a packed show it is for you today. Here's what's coming up.
You saw today, we're not going to lie down. It's almost like not who you play, it's who you get to referee and who's going to have a flag in their hand. Nowadays, it's just as important.
He's the new man at the Riverside, but can Neil Warnock keep Middlesbrough up as he heads into his 18th job in management? We hear from the league's newest and oldest manager in our Sky Bet Championship preview with former Leeds and Barnsley boss Paul Heckingbottom. But after two different but epic semi-finals, it's time for the Sky Bet League 2 playoff final between Exeter City and Northampton Town. In a moment, we'll hear from our expert pundit, Joby McEnough, but here's a reminder of how both teams secured their place at Wembley.
The EFL Sky Bet Playoffs.
Taylor leaves it for Fisher. Palmed away by Gherkin. Aaron Martin! Lift off for Exeter City in the playoffs. Parity restored. Now we've really got a tie on our hands. Swings it over, it's Bowman with the header. And the post saves Colchester United. Oh, and it's gone through! Jaden Richardson with the strike. But Dean Gherkin will have nightmares about that. Standing up for someone, and Courtney Senior finds the net. Colchester United grab the crucial fourth goal in the tie. Collins had his shirt pulled. Bowman is through though. Flag stays down. Ryan Bowman scores. Is that the goal that puts Wembley firmly on the horizon for Exeter City?
We've worked them hard in the 3 weeks. We've worked them hard. It's got to be for a reason. And we have felt this shake just helped us, certainly in extra time. Ben Seymour and Ryan were seeming to get stronger and stronger as that game went on. And you could just sense they were getting more and more leggy. It was who broke first. And I'm really pleased that Ryan took that finish. He works his absolute socks off and he doesn't get enough credit. Well, that was a classy finish.
What's the plan now between now and...
They should celebrate. They should somehow get a takeaway delivered, have a couple of pints at home. They'll be off tomorrow and we'll get a couple of days training. But like I say, that's a serious effort on the back of travelling all the way to Colchester and then get them back here saying it. People won't see it at home, but it's quite a warm day down in the southwest. So lots of recovery, but be really positive in terms of what's to come.
Well, can they get the ball in the box again here? Yes, they can. And Oliver goes for it. Well, that's exactly the goal that Northampton were looking for. And now that passport to Wembley is back in the balance. Good with the header. Oh, it's gone in. A real mess of a goal. Morton claiming it. And suddenly, Cheltenham's two-goal advantage from the first leg has been wiped out. Harriman coming in here. And it's a goal. Morton has scored. Is that the goal that will send Northampton Town to Wembley and the playoff final? And from a two-goal deficit, they now have a 3-2 aggregate lead.
I think that epitomised what we're trying to build at the football club. And I've got to say, the result, a lot of hard work's gone in, not by the players and the coaching staff, because that's our job, but behind the scenes, the secretary, the CEO, the chairman, the ancillary staff at the football club, the medical staff at the football club, they've made sure they've given us a platform to go and perform. And then it's about me doing my job and keeping the players believing in what we're about. Hey, some people will say it may not be pleasing on the eye, but I bet it makes great television.
So Joby joins us now. You'll be covering the game for Sky as you did both the semi-finals. I know the circumstances are a bit different to a usual playoff final, but how excited will both these sides be ahead of such an occasion?
Yeah, massively. Listen, I think as a player, and particularly player that is playing in the lower leagues, I think getting to Wembley is always something that is, a massive incentive. You know, obviously a few of the Exeter lads have had that experience already. But, you know, certainly for Northampton boys that probably haven't, and some of the Exeter boys that haven't, it's a fantastic experience and certainly one that, although it will be slightly different this year, you know, I'm sure one that they're all relishing and can't wait to get out there on a match day.
So obviously you covered both these teams for Sky, as we've mentioned. What did we learn from both the legs though, in terms of the semi-finals?
Well, first and foremost, I think, you know, all the teams that took part, the players, the backroom staff, everyone working at those clubs deserve huge credit. You know, it's a tough ask only after probably a couple of weeks being back in, you know, to go and perform the way they did, you know, in two very tough games in both sets of examples, and obviously Exeter's going to extra time as well. You know, I think it was, you know, a massive, massive achievement just to get through the games and obviously to put on, you know, two lots of games that were entertaining. There were goals, there was action throughout. You know, all those players deserve a, you know, large amount of credit for getting through that. You know, Exeter, I think we saw what we have done all season. For me, a very rounded team, very well set up. You know, they've got threats, of course, in the likes of Randall Williams, you know, who, for me, we didn't see enough of, but he's certainly someone who can produce, as he has done with the amount of assists and goals that he's got this year. You know, and I think they were good value over the two legs. They had a little spell where Colchester came back into it, particularly in that second leg, but they weathered that and obviously came through at the end. Northampton, listen, we saw what they were about. You know, disappointing first leg. I personally thought they would be out of the game, you know, going into that second leg, particularly with Cheltenham's defensive record they've had this year. But they came flying out the traps. They're a very direct team. You know, Keith Cole makes no apologies about that. And he shouldn't. You know, it's what works for them. It's very effective, very difficult to play against. And it obviously proved too difficult for Cheltenham. And, you know, they're going to be a big, big threat from set pieces, you know, with that physical element that they bring to the game, you know, come final day.
As you sort of touched on there, both showed that never say die attitude. How important is that going into a game like this, a playoff final though?
Well, it's a one-off, you know. I think everything that's gone before, you know, whether it be the season before the break and now the playoffs, everything goes out the window. It's about who's going to equip themselves best for the final. You know, it's a massive opportunity for both those football clubs, particularly off the back of what has been happening and the financial implications it's going to have, certainly on League Two and League One. You know, it's a real opportunity to help maybe offset some of those losses. But also from a football point of view, it's promotion. It's to step up to another league, which everyone at those football clubs wants to be a part of, and a chance to challenge yourself at a higher level. So, you know, certainly all to play for. And, you know, these events often just come down to who manages the occasion the best on the day.
Yeah, and both the managers are at opposite ends of the experience scale as well, with it only being Matt Taylor's second season in charge of Exeter. Could that be a factor, do you think, going into this game, that level of experience?
It's an interesting one because, you know, there's always that argument, experience versus inexperience. And, you know, maybe some of Keith Curl's previous forays into playoff games and stuff could start coming into his mind. Whereas you say Matt Taylor's probably a little bit fresher in terms of his approach and his experiences as a manager. So, you know, I'm sure they'll have different ways of approaching it. But at the same time, you know, you use your experiences, whether it be as a player, be as a coach. You know, he certainly had a good career, Matt Taylor, and has experienced those kinds of days before. So, you know, they're both, you know, coming into it in different stages of their career, but it's just as important for both of them.
From your own experience, can experience sometimes maybe be a negative thing, you know, stuff playing on your mind a bit more? If you're, you know, fresher going into an occasion like this, your first playoff final, you might be able to I don't know, rise to the occasion because of that, because it's something new.
Well, I think the big thing really with this story is obviously Exeter's having lost two finals previously, and obviously having some players still around from that, and maybe the impact that it's had on them, because it's a real tough thing to overcome when you've lost, you know, a playoff final. You know, I've experienced it and it is difficult to overcome. You know, the likes of Jake Taylor, Pierce Sweeney, you know, they've been through that before. I'm sure they'll be using that experience to help them this time around, help the lads that haven't gone through that before. And I think that'll be, hopefully, from their point of view, you know, a big plus point. You know, I think Northampton were for me, probably outsiders coming into this, I still think they've got that almost nothing to lose mentality that they showed in certainly the second leg. And again, I think over the course of the season, that has been their thing. And I think it can be used from their point of view as an advantage that they're going into it almost as the underdogs and the ones no one was expecting to go and do it and really go and try and cause a, you know, I wouldn't say an upset, you know, they are where they are out of merit. But I think over the course of the season, for me, Exeter have been the better side.
Yeah, I know I talked about it last week as well, Northampton going under the radar, but they definitely aren't now, are they, after that second leg performance against Cheltenham. How much of a statement was that against a team that are obviously so well-renowned for that defensive record in Cheltenham?
Massive. I don't think we can underestimate, you know, when you look at Cheltenham's defensive record. I mean, I think prior to the game on Monday, they'd only conceded more than one goal, or they hadn't conceded more than one goal, sorry, in the last 19 games. So that sums it up, you know, to go there and score three goals and be really, really well worthy of the win. It was by no means, you know, a fluke or they only had a few opportunities. I think they were in 24, 25 attempts on goal. You know, they dominated from the first whistle to the last whistle and fully, fully deserved it. So the confidence that will bring them, you know, they will go into any game now thinking in any circumstances, they've still got a chance to win. And obviously starting the game at 0-0, you know, again, they're going to be coming into it buzzing off of that result. And listen, they're going to be a real threat, real threat.
And I know, as you mentioned earlier, Randell Williams is someone you like as an Exeter player as well. How much of a difference can he make in this final? I know he probably maybe wasn't the best at his best at times in the semis, but more ready for the final now, of course.
Yeah, listen, you have to give Colchester's fullbacks credit for that. You know, Cohen Bramwell, I thought, was very good over the two games. And, you know, he had his hands full, Randall Williams. But I did see a side to him also that he was prepared to track back and do the work that you need to do at times. It's not always about how good you can be offensively, you know, and you have to put a shift in. And he certainly did that. So that would certainly be pleasing, you know, Matt Taylor and seeing that side of him, you know, clearly going forward, you know, most assists in the league this year. He's also had a best season in terms of goal scoring. So he's been very, very productive. And I think we saw a more positive Randall Williams in the second half. You know, his runs were a lot more positive. He put a lot more balls into the box. You know, the likes of Ryan Bowman thrive off of that. And again, he will need to have a big game, as will all of Exeter's players, you know, if they're going to overcome what is going to be, you know, a difficult opponent in Northampton.
Yeah, in terms of, like we mentioned there, Randall Williams, and, you know, who do you see as the main threats for both these teams are in this final? Who should we be looking out for, and what battles on the pitch will be the most important?
Well, yeah, I think, you know, as we saw in the semis, the guys that you think are going to be the threats generally were, you know, again, Ryan Bowman, Randall Williams. For me, Nicky Law, you know, bombs on from that deeper position. Links up really well with Ryan Bowman. Again, he was a lot more prevalent in that second leg and I think caused Colchester a lot more problems. So they'll be looking at him to do that. He's also chipped in with, you know, a good return in his goals and his assists. I think 7 in each on each of those ones. Again, for Northampton, I thought Verdane Oliver was a real, real handful. You know, when we played against them earlier this season, you know, I really liked him. He doesn't stop working. He's physical. He wins his headers. He runs the channels. You know, big physical presence. And also Callum Morton, the younger boy, that, again, energy, did not stop moving the whole afternoon and really deserved his goals the other day just throughout that work rate alone. Obviously, when they did come, he was in the right place at the right time. So, you know, that attack v defence, I think midfield, there's not a lot to choose between the two teams. So it's certainly going to be, from an attacking point of view, who can be in the game more and obviously take those opportunities when they come.
But whose position would you rather be in? Exeter, obviously the favourites based on their, you know, the current season. But would you prefer to be an underdog like Northampton maybe?
I think there's certainly more pressure on Exeter, I've got to be honest. I'm sure everyone at Northampton and within that football club will be putting pressure on themselves to win. Because they're there by merit, you know, and they deserve an opportunity. I think because of the history behind Exeter, I do think, and the fact they, you know, have been higher up in the table for the majority of the season and, you know, will say they were unfortunate to miss out on automatic promotion. You know, they still had Plymouth to play. They're only 3 points behind them. So I think in their eyes, they will see they could genuinely have gone up automatically. Northampton, not quite so. So, you know, for me, I think going into it as an underdog, again, you can almost have that nothing to lose mentality. And I wouldn't like to say whose shoes I'd rather be in. You know, you're in the final, it's 50-50. It's just about going out there and executing the game plan on the day.
And finally, no more sitting on the fence. Who's winning it?
Listen, if Northampton, I've got to be honest, if they come out and play anywhere near the level that they did on Monday night, they're going to be very, very difficult to stop. It's a real balance between, for me, the better football inside, which is Exeter. Again, they like to play through the lines, you know, play through that midfield that they've got, you know, and get it wide and get good delivery into the box. Whereas Northampton are a lot more direct. And for me, at Wembley, the onus is going to be on Exeter to get the ball down and move Northampton around. I think if they can do that, then I would expect them to come out on top. If they get caught up in a bit more of a direct physical battle, then there's only going to be one winner, and that's Northampton. So I'm still sitting on the fence.
Still sitting on the fence. Joby, you know, it's set to be a cracker. Enjoy the final and have a good weekend.
Will do. Cheers, Ben. Take care, mate.
The Sky Bet Championship.
Now time for the Championship preview alongside Paul Heckingbottom. And first, the return of this man.
You know, Clive White, who was the PFA guy, you hear, you know, he's saying about, you know, he's too passionate and all. Come on, you know what's at stake? This is the game of football in England's Premier League. And when you see things like that, it does make you passionate. That's what we're in the bloody game for. You know, they shouldn't make mistakes like that at this level. You know, why am I working at 70 years of age to see things like that? I'm just so proud of the whole club today. I thought the fans were brilliant and I thought the team was.
Yes, the one and only Neil Warnock is back, replacing Jonathan Woodgate at the Riverside.
So, Neil, why did you decide to take this job?
Well, really, it was Steve, you know, the chairman, who rang me and just asked me if I could help out. He just wanted to change things for the running, and I've always gotten really well with him. I've always liked him as one of the best owners, really, and the club itself's always, you know, been. I've always enjoyed playing against him. I don't think I've lost against them yet, but you know, when he rings you and asks you that, I think you've just got to. You know, I'm more or less retired, I think, in my mind. But, you know, I thought, well, what an opportunity. 8 games without anybody booing me.
You like a challenge, I know that. But how tough a job do you think you've got on your hands?
Well, I mean, we're not, you know, we're down there for a reason. You can't pull any punches. Big clubs have gone down before. So it's a really precarious position. But having said that, you know, we've got 8 games and some cracking games in that. And the lads have, first session today, you know, I'm very, very pleased with how that's gone. So it's trying to get the results that we keep it up. That's all it is at the moment, you know, for the rest of the season, trying to get enough points.
I mean, you've obviously done it before with some success, but how difficult is it to come into a club with so few games left and keep them in this division?
Well, it's difficult, but other clubs have got difficulty as well. You know, there's quite a few clubs down there, I think, in trouble. I think there's, you know, you could say maybe six, seven. So, you know, lots of points to play for with 8 games to go. And it's surprising, really. You know, you think, oh, this game's no, you know, this game's the be-all and end-all, and that game is. But the end of the season running is a really difficult. You know, teams have got a lot of pressure on them, not just ourselves in a precarious position we're in, but, you know, the playoffs, chasing for the playoffs and automatic promotion. It does take a lot out of you at this stage, I think.
Now, Paul, thanks for joining us. We've, you know, got to start with Neil Warnock's return at Middlesbrough, though. Could they have appointed anyone better for the situation they find themselves in at the moment?
Probably not, you know, and it's Jonathan Woodgate who suffered off the back of that. But when you've got people of Neil's experience and calibre, if you like, floating about, that Steve Gibson's just thought he's got to make a change. You know, they were in free fall, thought he's got to make a change, and he's brought a man in there who's been in that situation many times before and also got a record 8 promotions under his belt as well. So, yeah, it looks like a horses for courses sort of signing, if you like, in terms of the manager.
You've come up against Neil Warnock's teams before. What's it like and what's it about his side that makes them so successful, do you think?
For me, again, getting 8 promotions, you have to know how to win, and that's probably the biggest standout thing and compliment I could pay to him, and where I'd always defend him over is, over that such a long period of time, to get 8 promotions, you've got to know how to win, and he's won in a lot of different ways. You know, even in the games I've played against him, I remember when we had a decent side and we thought we were getting the better of him, and his, the experience of his team just slowed the game down, played for set plays and became a real danger that way. And then I think the season they went up, they were much more attritional in terms of the physicality. And if a team got on top of them then, they weren't scared to go man for man all over the pitch and nullify the team's threat that way. And then he's also had, especially in the Championship, he's always had a couple of match winners in there. He signed Tomlin. Tomlin was in there for him. Hoylett was there. So he'll certainly know how to use those type of players as well for Borough.
Yeah, and as you know, obviously managers don't tend to come into jobs where everything's rosy, do they? But what do you have to do when you take charge with a side which, you know, clearly confidence isn't at its highest?
I think organisation's a big thing. In the last job I went in, I was lucky I had a couple of weeks to sort of know I was going in and really have a look at everything before I went in and get organised. Niels has not got that time, you know, so he's got to hit the ground running. But organisation will be a big thing. He'll get that over. And then stressing the belief and really putting that across the players, getting them to believe in his message, what he's doing. And again, he, by all accounts, for the players who've played with him, when you're in his team, that's one of his big strengths. You just want to play for him. So he'll be using all that experience he's got to get that across. And I wouldn't be surprised if he turns to some of the more senior players again.
And Stoke, obviously, first up for them, team down there with them. Is it not necessarily a case of a must win for your first game, but, you know, mustn't lose is a priority in this one, do you think?
Yeah, and probably for both teams. I mean, Stoke have strung some decent results together and not lost for a while. You know, they look really well organised again, and they're going to be hard working under Martin and under Michael O'Neill. So it's going to be a tough ask for Borough, without a doubt. And I think getting his first point on the board will be the biggest thing. But when you're down there, and the amount of teams that's in it and how tight it is, I think if you've got a chance of getting 3, you've got to try and take it. You know, so if you're in the lead, you've got to do everything you can to stay in there. And if you're on top in terms of momentum and it is, you know, tight game at whatever score, I think you should be pushing for the 3 points. It can make such a big difference.
I know it's odd sort of circumstances, but is it all about confidence now in a relegation battle like this going into the final few games of the season?
Yeah, belief. I said so. Neil's been there before and he'll know how to transmit that. He'll not panic. There'll be no skin off his nose. He'll just approach every day as it is. And I think getting that message across to the players, if there's any sort of fear in the performance, it can really limit you. You know, whether that's going a goal behind and then you just go under, whether that's been scared to take the ball under pressure when it is tight and still at 0-0. So I think that has got to be transmitted from all the managers down there. You know, at this moment, it's tough. There is nerve jangling. But you've got to sort of project that confidence over to your players.
Yeah, certainly has a job on his hands at Borough, but as does Gerhard Struber as well, your former side, Barnsley. But how much confidence will that win against QPR have given them?
Huge. You know, I think it would have surprised a few people, but it's put them right back in the mix, only 4 points behind now. And, you know, drag your Hulls, your Middlesbroughs, and maybe those sorts of results have forced Middlesbrough into the change. You know, Charlton winning, Barnsley winning. It has dragged a lot of teams down there, so they'll have took massive confidence. If you'd have asked me before the first game back, can Barnsley do it? I'd have been, you know, against the chances. But to get that early win, that quick win, and seeing the form of some of the teams above them as well, it puts them right back in the mix.
Yeah, you mentioned Hull there. I think most people will be fearing for them most in terms of the teams that are down there. Do you not envy Grant McCann with the position he currently finds himself in? It's not easy, is it?
It's not easy, and you know, he's not been in that before, whereas, you know, people like Neil have. But I also feel for Grant. He, you know, they've sold Jared Bowen, they've sold guaranteed goals. And so regardless what money you get in business-wise, it might be a good decision. But it's the hardest thing to replace in your team is goals. You know, I've been there. I said it when we lost Connor and Sam Winnell at the same time. All his assists and all his goals gone in one. It's the hardest thing in the world to replace. And with Jared, they certainly had guaranteed goals, and it's just going to put so much pressure on the rest of the team. But the problem is they've just got to arrest that slide they're in. They're in free fall at the minute. It's just loss. So they need to break that streak.
Yeah, you'd feel that the match against Birmingham really is a must win for them. But now moving on to the Friday night game between West Brom and Brentford, another, you know, big one this at the top. Big statement from the Bees last week as well, beating Fulham and the top two dropping points. If they win this, do they, you know, they still have a chance of automatic promotion, do you think?
Yeah, if they win this, they do, definitely. It's West Brom and Leeds are obviously favourites to go up, and the fact that West Brom have got such a gap and such an advantage, they can afford to take the point, keeps them in the driving seat. But Brentford's win has put them right back in it, and if they can get another one, and then dependent on Fulham's result at Leeds, it can open it right back up again. But it's sort of been the story of the season, hasn't it, when Leeds and West Brom set off on fire, but when they were faltering and crumbling, no one could take advantage, just when you thought particularly Brentford and Fulham were going to be chasing them down, Notts Forest, teams like that, they just fell away at the wrong time. So it's given Leeds and West Brom, for me, too much of an advantage to catch up, but this probably round of games will determine that.
Yeah, similar for Slaven Bilic, though, as Neil Warnock, maybe, in that he can't really afford to lose this one, or do you think they're too far clear at the top now with that seven-point gap, as you mentioned?
They are too far clear. I think, as like I said, a point suits them better than Brentford. A point, and it's as you are with just seven games remaining, so they'd be delighted with that. 3 points for West Brom, they've virtually put it to bed. But that's why it'd be such an interesting game, because Brentford, for me, have to treat it like a cup final, you know. They're going to be in the playoffs minimum. Why not go for it and try and go out with it in a blaze of glory and chase it down, take it as long as you can. So I think it'll be a good game to watch, because Brentford will, just like Fulham at Elland Road, Brentford will be desperate for the 3 points.
Yeah, a lot of quality players on show. But last, but certainly not least, is another one of your former teams, Leeds, taking on Fulham. A huge game this, second against third. How much of a relief, though, will it have been for Leeds that Fulham did lose that game last week? Because this would obviously have been an even bigger game, you know, if Fulham had won that and Leeds had dropped points as they did against Cardiff.
Yeah, it surprised me, that Leeds game. Definitely, I thought Leeds would start this part of the season the way they've started the last two seasons, start really well and strong. But as I said, the other teams couldn't really capitalise. Fulham slip up to Brentford. Yeah, it's put Brentford back in with a shout, but it's given Fulham it all to do again. So West Brom and Leeds, without both winning, have got away with one, but they find themselves playing the teams who are directly behind them. So it's probably an identical situation to the Brentford-West Brom game, in Leeds can afford to take a point at home, a win, and they're virtually out of sight. But a Fulham win and a Brentford win opens the league back up again.
Yeah, but, and this might sound a bit strange, this question, but could that 7-point cushion be affecting Leeds psychologically a little bit, do you think? You know, that they could become a slightly a bit, you know, complacent in the situation that they're in. I know it's obviously going to be a tough ask for Fulham.
Yeah, I can't see that. I mean, I don't know Marcelo personally, but from everything you read and hear, you wouldn't expect any sort of complacency to creep in. What I do know is the rest of the staff, the owner, people like that, the board of directors were desperate for Leeds to go up. So there'll be nothing playing down what's at stake for Leeds United. The players will have been thinking about it all the break. You know, they've been so close, it's been delayed, but that prize is still there for them. So I cannot imagine any complacency whatsoever creeping in.
Yeah, but looking at it from Fulham's point of view, though, what's their mentality got to be like? You know, do they have to believe they could still, you know, go for this in this top two? Or maybe they'd have to treat it as like a bit of a pre-season maybe for those playoff games, especially after such a long time off.
Yeah, for me, they've got to try and win. Same as Brentford, keep the season alive. But, well, two rings, keep the season alive and you're still in with a shout. We know anything can happen. If they can get that gap down to 3 and 4 points, then anything can happen. You're talking 1 and 2 games then. But probably the second part of it, and what will not be spoke about, but you tend to watch playoffs and the team going into playoffs in form has a great chance of going up. You know, the team that maybe has been chasing all season, like a Leeds United did last year and just miss out, it can be difficult in the playoffs. So a team going into playoffs in form can carry that momentum all the way through. So Brentford and Fulham are chasing automatic, but they'll want to keep winning games just to go into those playoff games with as much form as possible.
And finally, just want to ask you, how have you been coping during this period? Obviously, being difficult for everyone, not just in football, and obviously you've been without football.
Yeah, you know what? It's been an enforced break from football, which has been nice because you know you're not missing out on anything then. There's been no football, nothing to watch. Everyone's been in the same boat. So it's meant a lot of time with the family, which has been great after just living away. It's meant a lot of time me looking after myself, getting fit, lots of studying. But probably like everyone else, if we're all honest, we're probably glad it's back. You know, it's not back to what we want and what we know. You know, we want to be at the grounds. We want to be at games. But it's back, you know, and that along with everything else at the minute, we're making the first sort of footsteps, if you like, towards getting back to some sort of normality.
Good to see you, Paul, and thanks for your time this week.
No worries, Ben. Take care.
And that's it from us this week. Thanks again for tuning in. Don't forget to like and subscribe if you've enjoyed it. Join us again next time for all the reaction to that playoff final. Bye for now.